This is CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab Africa. My name is Lizo Gumbo Regis for your host, and thank you for tuning in. Now, this is where we hold it down. We dissect the business behind fashion in Africa and obviously touch base with the rest of the world to make sure that we can smile to the bank a bit more and also have time to relax, because we all know there's no relaxing in this game. This is not for the faint-hearted, though. Anyway, on today's show, we're discussing our topic around Fashion Week. We're talking about the past, the present, and the future. What does it actually mean to you? What does it mean to the fashion world today? You as a fashion brand, what does Fashion Week mean to you? You as a fashion consumer, who's a fashion lover, who's like literally on the next time something drops on the runway, you're literally on it within 24 hours. What does Fashion Week mean to you? So we're joined by very special guests who are sitting with us in studio, and I'll be introducing them shortly. But I just want to go ahead and introduce my other the other two culprits. So we've got definitely Edgy Benson with his Echoes from New York joining us on the show today. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. We were just talking about fashion not being for the faint-hearted. And then
hey, it's not for the faint-hearted, though. If you are having a faint heart, you'll have a heart attack. You cannot be in this industry. This is for the people who are ready to just take it and run with it. I'm telling you, sleepless nights, who calling, what, and all of that. But yes, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show. Before we go further, what are you wearing and what? Who made your clothes? Let's just get
to them. Today I'm really, really simple. Well, I know everybody's gonna guess that I'm wearing diesel jeans.
Yeah, but please don't make okay. me. I did not guess. So be creative, Edgy. Please, we are starting to get tired. Did you get the deal? Wait. Did you get the deal from Diesel? Are you officially the ambassador?
I'm working on it.
No, if you're not, then we are not. No. Then we're not wearing Diesel. Please, I beg. Anything else?
Well, I have on a unique little T-shirt.
Okay.
Well, look, I'm being frank. Though. I'm having a unique little T-shirt, and we have to. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I just finished working with China. So yes, I'm being very comfortable. A unique little T-shirt and a pair of really tight skinnies.
All right, you just make sure they're not so tight to go to Wahala on the street, you know. That's the thing with the tight stuff. I mean, it's getting so tight that I've been looking around and I'm like, my God, can these guys, like, can they just get one size bigger? I mean, we're the ones who wear these things as tight as we do. I mean, come on, guys.
Well, it was the closest one to me when I woke up.
Okay, well, Edgy, we love you either way. Like I said, I just don't want to hear any more Diesel on this show until you get a deal with Diesel. And so, Diesel, if you're listening, yes, if you're listening, Diesel, please help. Otherwise, no more Diesel. And we are also joined by our special contributor on the show, Francisca Marzilli, all the way from Lisbon with her Echoes from Europe. Welcome to the show, Francisca.
Thank you.
Who are you wearing and what made your clothes?
I'm laughing and feeling very guilty for this China things of the Edgy, because he is telling that he is awake the whole night. And we should feel guilty in laughing about his outfit.
Thank you.
Don't you think so?
I think I'm feeling
so guilty now.
No, we don't feel guilty. Does he feel guilty when I'm going to bed at 2 in the morning? Or 3? Do you feel guilty, Francisca? You don't? So, like, seriously, kill the guilt thing. We are feeling fresh. If you're wearing half leggings, whatever you're doing, we really, at this point, want to just say in a nice way, we don't really care. Like, we are all in the fashion industry, and we know the pain,
yes,
and we feel the pain.
Mad word.
So you got to put on your sunglasses and your high heels and just take it by the head. That's
of
all
course.
I can say.
And, as always.
And Edgy, you're welcome to do that, too. So, Francisca, who are you wearing and who made your clothes today?
Today I wear a T-shirt from the Zara in melange gray, and a longette, a black longette, and red vintage shoes. from the Giancarlo Vicini collection.
Girl, you got it going, girl. What time is it and what's the weather like? Jeez. You sound like you're getting out of a Vogue shoot or getting into a Vogue shoot.
I'm into the office. I'm working. Packaging luggages and
packaging
things.
Francisca, I know you've got an assistant called Manuela who's doing the packaging. Don't even start with us. But anyway,
amazing.
For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, this is the Fashion Lab where we dissect the business behind fashion. And a quick reminder to you, I've also got my favorite segment at the end of the show called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. We call that our red glass of red, you know, red vino. Wine du vin rouge. C'est comme tu veux dire. You know, we can say it in 20 other languages. Francisca can give us a hers, and then Edu will give us his flow. And we also want to know it with the Niger flow as well. So let's wait for who you want to dress so you guys can give us your different variations in your different languages before we pop that thing and get that last favorite thing going. Now, keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We're on Fashion Lab Africa on Instagram and Facebook. And we'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our conversation today, our special guests who are sitting here looking very anxious because, you know, they just want to jump in. Today is going to be mouthful, so everyone, fasten your mouth seat belts because, and get your popcorn so that we also all slowly get our turns because I know today is going to be very heavy, Francisca and Edgy. Now, we are discussing, we're obviously joined by, as we discuss this topic around Fashion Week, and I say, I think for me, the most important reason as to why I thought this was a good time for this is before we get into Fashion Week, SA Fashion Week next week, and obviously because this is a Fashion Week season too. I feel like it's also very important to say, you know what, we look at fashion and we come way back, you know, from the 60s all the way to today to 2017 and say, okay, fine, what is it that's going on differently? What is it that people are doing at Fashion Week? How do brands use this platform? Has it become, is it still relevant in 2017 as it was maybe in the 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? So the conversation is just around really stirring up these conversations. Those who are tuned in, we would love to hear from you. So make sure that you keep your tweets coming, you know, keep the flow going. We are joined by a co-founder of Pairzoo Clothing and 8th Avenue Online. She's co-founder and director. She's got over 20 years experience in the fashion industry. She goes by the name of Monet Viviere. Bienvenue.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome to the show, Monet. And you are not exempt to this. I know you heard us asking what people are wearing. What are you wearing today and who made your clothes? It's very important.
I always wear our own brands. My gilet is from the Beach Blanket Babylon collection. And my palazzos are from the JMVB collection. And they were made by Nomsa and Dio.
Wow. Very good. So you're keeping it local?
Always. I always only wear my own brands.
Girl, keeping it local, keeping it self. This is self-indulgence. Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
Do you deeply indulge in self?
Very, very deeply.
And you are not apologetic about it?
Not at all. I look in my wardrobe. If there's not something that is working for me,
you get onto the machine.
I get some fabric. And hand it over. There's a pattern. Let's go.
I love it.
And by noon, I have something new.
I love it. Well, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. Now, we have another special guest all the way from Botswana. Goes by the name of Lepang Ferguson. She's a communications and PR exec. But besides that, she is a creative entrepreneur. She's definitely got lots and lots of years. She's been over 12 years of experience in the game. And we've just met as well. She's fabulous, looking very stunning in here in something. I want to tell you what she's wearing, but wait. Welcome to the show, Lepang.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you for joining us. And then let's talk about who are you wearing or what are you wearing and who made your clothes. I love that.
I am wearing a jacket by Anthropology that I got in San Francisco.
Oh my God, this looks like Anthropology just ripped off Nani Babatunde from the corner somewhere.
So it was one of their new ethical collections and I just fell in love with it. It reminded me of home when I was there. So I said, I want this jacket and I got it. And I'm wearing jeans by Country Road.
Girl, your Country Road, San Francisco all the way and all of that and that Anthropology. Let's go here. Let me just make a comment. Yeah. And this is not offense to Anthropology. Anthropology, this is definitely an African-inspired piece.
Absolutely.
Because I'm looking at that batik work and I'm starting to think about the cloths from back in the day. I think about the mud cloth and how they, you know, introduce or bring in this print into the batik work. I think about so many other traditional fabrics. We'll have another day for traditional textile, or sort of what we call textile from the roots, because people don't even know what these are. But thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show. And yes, I think we're just going to go straight into our conversation today. I mean, like, we've been talking about Fashion Week. And the truth also is we're all experts within this space. You guys bring a lot to the table. But I just thought, what better topic to have other than Fashion Week?
Yeah.
And because Edgy sits in New York, Francisca sits in Lisbon, you guys sit here. You sit in Botswana. I am from Kenya, and I sit here, but I can tell you a lot about what's going on the continent.
Absolutely.
This is the great day that the Lord has made, so we can rejoice in this conversation. So let's talk about a bit of your background. I'm going to start with Lepang.
Yes.
Just a bit of your background, what's going on in Botswana, and let's talk about the Fashion Weeks, because I know that your Fashion Weeks are not... I think the oldest Fashion Week right now in the continent is Lucila, is SA Fashion Week, which is, I think, turning 19 or 20 this year.
20
this year. And big up. I mean, I got my head up and my heels sometimes. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Botswana and just a bit of your background and what's happening in that space.
Well, I don't spend that much time in Botswana anymore. I spend more time here. But let me just give you a view of what the industry looks like there. It's very small, very marginalized. There is, you know, there are opportunities for growth, but there's also a lot of opportunities in terms of designers getting more exposure. And I think there's also just an ecosystem problem that you find in South Africa or around the continent. So, you know, you find that because there is just less happening in any market. It's a very, very small country. It's not that we don't expect a lot or big things to happen in a small country, but I think there's a lot of learning that needs to take place for the industry to catch up. So I think South Africa is a lot more advanced, has been doing it for quite a while. The ecosystem is a little bit different, even though I still feel that it's still very small, it's still very fragmented. So that's Botswana and that's South Africa, and how I compare them.
It's interesting. So how old is the Botswana Fashion Week now?
I am not sure how long Fashion Week. I don't even, it's not a Botswana Fashion Week per se. There's different companies that do fashion shows or different types of fashion weeks, but they've been very, I think, inconsistent over the years as well. So I'm not sure if there's been a Fashion Week this year or last year, because there's also a very limited communication surrounding those Fashion Weeks. So we hope that they can be revived soon.
Let's talk about Monet. Let's talk about your experience a bit in the industry, and then obviously you're based here, but you've traveled a lot. You're very exposed. You've had a lot of experience touching on different aspects. What is your take? First of all, what's your background, and what is your take on what Fashion Week actually means?
Well, you know what,
to you and to people within sort of your level.
Yes. Well, I've been in the fashion industry in and out for the last 20 years, and have been involved with numerous fashion weeks. Either on a production side or assisting other collections. And for me, on a personal level, I always feel like with a lot of fashion and with the fashion weeks, that they kind of want to continue with the whole Devil Wears Prada, misery, you've got to wear black, you've got to be miserable.
Which fashion week?
No, come on.
Okay.
Now, you know, with the trade event now, you can't wear color.
Which one?
This one coming.
Which one? SA Fashion Week?
Yes.
No, come on. I wear color at SA Fashion Week.
Big, bold letters, no color.
No, but I wear color.
Well, I'm going to then too. Because I think that's rubbish. But you know what? It's always the... You know, the stark faces, trying to be on the fro and just look miserable. You know, well, we don't want to do that. We want to have fun. We want to laugh. We want to cry. We want to be passionate about it.
Do you want to jump as well? Because, you know, I've been to some fashion weeks here. There's another one that I've gone to that I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't know if my jacket's going to get stolen or what's going to happen. Because people are cheering like we're in a football match, literally. And I'm like, that is not fashionable. Now, stop. No. Like, I don't want rules for fashion, but please do not jump. This is not soccer.
No, there was I was at that event, and it was certainly not pleasant. I didn't see you.
Because people were jumping, and I was like almost getting jumped over. But anyway,
being dwarfed by the jumpers.
Yes, by the jumpers.
So what we want to see is a lot more interaction between the buyers and the collections and the designers, because from where we stand as 8th Avenue Online, where we have and do stock numerous of the designers who are showing this coming week, they appreciate and enjoy, well, enjoy is a very sort of marginal word, because a lot of them are incredibly stressed at the moment. I spoke to two of them this morning, that being the House of Diva and Cis Isabel, hard at work trying to get their collections together, and I'm sure you're also...
You should send them to me, as we have wine where my showroom is. All we are doing is having wine, singing songs, humming songs, and then we get through the day. No stress. We are too blessed to be stressed. No stress.
That's fantastic.
Send them to me.
That's I'll bring them for wine.
Only
on
from
Friday.
7 p.m. Only from 7 p.m.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So, yes, they have expressed their involvement as being a one that is a marketing strategy that exposes them to retail so that they can get their brands out there. The usual economic situations where cash is king is always difficult for them, because a lot of these smaller designers don't have the necessary funds all the time to be able to just splash on a very expensive fashion show. So from that point of view, it is a sort of a closed club, where you have to have enough money, you have to have enough exposure to be allowed onto Fashion Week. And I think that might be somewhere where it's a little bit more difficult for smaller brands to get exposure, because mm-hmm. you'd need to, it's a catch-22. You have to have the exposure to get more exposure. And of course then, if you have more exposure, you have more funds, so it becomes easier. But from the designers I've spoken to, everybody is eager, willing, interested, and they certainly know no dwindling in interest from their perspectives to not do Fashion Week.
So before I go to Edgy and Francisca, what would you say, Monet, is why are people feeling stressed? I mean, I'm a bit, look, don't, I'm,
you know, sometimes
I've got a bit of a thing going on, but I'm not like stressed. I'm just like I said, I'm drinking wine. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, that's how we deal with our stress. I think a lot of people, I mean, not necessarily the two I mentioned earlier, but fashion designers can be a little bit airy-fairy, and they leave things to the last minute. And I think that adds to the stress levels. If, you know, when I've done collections, I'm not like that. I like to be prepared. I like to be early. Mm-hmm. So
you can be free. And
yes, and I can have my wine, you know, and I have a good time. Staying up at night and turning and tossing is not good for your creativity. Mm-hmm. And I like to get things done. I like to get organized. We've been asked to collaborate on this Fashion Week, so for the last couple of days I've been pulling designs and twirling and pattern cutting and throwing Duchess Satin at Dio and saying, do something, make it happen. So as we speak, I've got two wonderful people busy stitching like crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I get back and pull a collar off and say change the sleeve, and but that's the fun part, and if there's a bit more prep, then I think everybody will enjoy that fun.
Thank you so much. There's some very key points that you've made. Before I also give my feedback and get all of our feedback on those, Edgy and Francisca, let's start with Francisca. What would you say, you, whether it's not you directly but just working in the industry, Francisca, because you do, you are a fashion agent for a couple of fashion weeks, and you obviously see how brands behave.
Sorry,
and stuff.
Lisa, I'm not listening in the right way. I hear a lot of interactions. I don't know if it's possible to can you repeat, please?
So what I was going to say, Francisca, can you hear me now better?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, within your capacity working with brands as a fashion agent for some fashion weeks and working with a lot of brands, how do you see, or what do you see around Fashion Week time, especially when it comes to the brands and how they are behaving and what's happening? How does it happen for you within the European side of life, especially for the fact that you're very exposed and you can definitely see what's going on around during Fashion Week?
Well, every Fashion Week is an universe, a unique universe, and every brand reacts in a different way. I can tell you that I see different ways to act with this, And there are very good planned brands that it's like nothing is going to happen, nothing special is going to happen. They are totally almost working in other things because everything is very well organized and everything is pushed out somehow. Other brands, and I'm in this group also. I live fashion weeks in this form. Are up to the end of the catwalk. Are living everything, every single moment, every single needle, every single stitch you need to put before the catwalk and before the start captures you totally. And so it's very stressful. It's very, of course, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. But it's also the unique moment in the season that you have the chance to deal with your producers, your tailors, your buyers, and everybody is around your business. So it's very exciting.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds very easy compared to what we're dealing with on this side. And Edgy, let's cross over to Edgy. And Edgy, I'll also say this. I remember when we came for Fashion Week, was it last year? And we were trying all to, I was like, Edgy, please, you should have lined this up. Where's Bibu? Where's who? Where are the interviews? You're like, Liz, they can't talk. They're not available. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? He's like, Liz. Edgy's like, Liz, they're not available. They're not available about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks before. And then I was like, what are they doing? Edgy, let's come to you. Let's talk about that from your end.
Well, I was a bit surprised that in South Africa you guys have that much time. Quite honestly. Yeah, so I was listening. I'm thinking, wow. I mean, it can't happen here. It's just impossible. No matter how hard you work and you think you've left nothing, are you prepared? There's nothing. How do you prepare for it? You know, like, you have such a busy schedule, normally, especially being in New York, and then you have these 3 weeks or whatever, 6 weeks to prepare for everything. And it's crazy. It's impossible. But that's the fun of it, though. That's the beauty of that 1 minute, that window of time that you are just in a pressure cooker. But then you know in that window who you are, that this is your job, you know. It's impossible to have some serenity during that time here. There's just so much. There's so many multiple fashion shows and fashion week organizers, and then you have to choose the one that accepts you. And then you have to prepare for that. And yeah, it just, between the logistics of the design of the collection itself and the venues and everything, it's hard to have any kind of peace or calm before this storm. It's just one huge storm that goes on until Fashion Week is over. But for us, that's the beauty, though. That's what we live for. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think I was going to say, Edgy, do you guys just, like, become like eggs and you're so fragile? Like, oh, my gosh, I need, like, 12 weeks. What are you needing 12? What are you guys doing for? Like, what are you doing? Why can't you just be, like, alive and do, like, everything that we, like, we even do things. Like, we're doing so many other things. And then, like, you just bring, like, I promise when I was in New York, Edgy was just stressing me from the whole thing of, They're busy. I was like, what are they busy doing? What time in the day? He's like, no, Liz, they're not available. I'm like, what are they doing? Are you looking at a dress 4 times?
You're preparing for New York, though. You're not just preparing for New York, though. You're preparing for all the following fashion weeks, and then you're preparing for market, you know? So it's a pressure time. Yeah.
Guys, I just want to say for those who are tuned in now, just a quick thing about the history of Fashion Week, which was initially called Press Week. Now, Fashion Week began in New York City in 1943 during the World War II, and the fashion shows of Paris were actually canceled because of Nazi occupation, making it impossible for U.S. journalists to travel to France for fashion inspiration. Mm. I just thought that it would be nice to share some of this little bits and pieces. Now, think about the 1800s, where you had private salon shows in Paris. Mm-hmm. And then you go to 1943, mm-hmm. where New York Fashion Week comes in. You've got Elena Lambert creating Fashion Press Week in New York. Then in 1958, you have Milan Fashion Week. Milan Fashion Week gets its start at the National Chamber for Italian Fashion. Then you go to 1903, where the first U.S. fashion show at Erich Brothers department store went down. Then you go all the way to 1945, where I wonder what they were doing between 1903 and 1945. But anyway, we'll talk
racing
about that.
Because it was very
okay,
stressful.
It was stressful after the war. Okay. So 1945, you have Paris Fashion Week, and you've got seasonal collections required by the first Chambre Syndicat de la Haute Couture. We're going to have a show on this fashion lab, for those of you who are tuned in again, to define what haute couture is. Because if I hear one more designer saying they are haute couture, I will follow
up. And they are not.
We need to redefine, explain to... And the good thing is with Fashion Lab, what we do is we edutain. You're going to laugh a bit, but you need to come out with some information just so that you know...
Educate.
Yes. Edutain.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Educate is too hardcore. No one wants to be educated anymore. So let's just educate them.
Yeah. Perfect.
And the thing with that is it also gives you some sort of idea so that you know that when you start positioning yourself as a brand, as you continue to grow, don't call yourself haute couture. Do you even know what haute couture means? Then you can't even pronounce it. So don't use that word if you don't know what it is. Anyway, that was 1945 Paris Fashion Week. Then you move to 1973 where you have Paris Fashion Week organized under the French Fashion Federation. Then you move to 1984 where London Fashion Week, founded by the British Fashion Council, goes down. So that's just a bit of a quick sort of movement around what was happening between 1800s and that time of the 1900s. Now, to go on with this conversation, let's come back to you, Monty. SA Fashion Week is about to happen. Are you showcasing anything as a brand as well, or are you doubling up, or are you collaborating with any other brand? Are you showing anything from your?
Yes, we are. And I'm assuming you're speaking to me because my name's not Monty.
Okay. The Monty is because yesterday Jane called you Monty. I was like,
well, Monzi.
No, whatever she called you, I was like, that sounds very different. So I went back to look at my phone.
Wait a minute, what's going on?
I was like, let me see this name. Maybe I spelled it wrong, and it said Monty. Money. So I kept on saying, but this is Money. Where is the Monty? So then she explained to me that nobody can pronounce
it's,
your name.
Yeah, it's a strange
So you
thing.
Get called Monty and then
Monzi. That's a nickname Jane conjured up and it's stuck.
Liz is so busy. She's still stuck in yesterday.
I know, right?
She's always like hectic.
Liz, in the present. You've got to be here now.
Okay, let's talk. Money, I will not. Jane needs to stop using that crazy name. Let's talk about what's happening and what we can expect, especially
well, you know what?
From you.
Our own brands, which is Beach Blanket Babylon, JMVB, and another collaboration, which is Posh and Dolls, those are all very new brands. We've not... we've been focusing so much of our energy on launching our 8th Avenue online store. And, of course, then we have our monthly trunk shows and we do markets and all kinds of things to expose our designers. And my focus has really been on getting the exposure for our young designers. Mm-hmm. And with Pezu being a design incubator, that is really where I've pushed my attention and my energy. Now that it's sort of starting to get momentum and it's been fortified also with our wine, I have more time to spend on our own brands. And with these brands coming to life, what has happened is that other designers have asked us to collaborate. So we are doing a collection of shirts that will be presented on the show for the House of Diva. And quite outlandish. Some of them are absolutely exquisite. And that is our entrance into SA Fashion Week 4 for this year. And I can't focus when you're throwing that thing in my face.
That was our selfie in studio. But anyway, I think that's fantastic. And so definitely I look forward to seeing what you guys, what did you say, Beach Babylonian what?
Beach Blanket Babylon. That's our resort collection.
That's just like very Babylon beach. Whoa, beach that blanket. Sounds very... I feel like I'm in Jamaica again. But yes, very paradisey. So that's very interesting. Congratulations on what you guys are doing.
Thank you. The fact
that also you've been able to pull out some of the brands that you guys stock to be able to just push them further than just stocking them. I think that's what I really love about what you guys do with 8th Avenue Online, where you just kind of use your resources to go beyond just... we stock this brand,
yeah.
And you identify the talent or the skill, and you nurture them, and that you also help them get themselves to the next level by making sure you also look out for platforms that they could fit in.
Absolutely.
To get them to that next
level. You know what, we really are a little family. And when we have our trunks, it's very obvious to see that this is not about... essentially making money and trying to get sales. It's about having fun. Designers tend to be so isolated,
yeah,
without sounding boards,
yeah,
and partners that they can talk to, that when they are at the trunk shows, this becomes an environment where they can speak to each other, they can throw ideas around. We have jewelry, so next thing you know, somebody is getting a collection of handbags made to assist with the collection. So it really is a very symbiotic relationship where everybody can work together, drink together, play, yeah, together, have fun together.
And grow everybody's together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And everybody's trying on everybody else's clothes. You know, it's great, one great big fashion show.
Yeah.
And which is divine, because all of a sudden, somebody will see part of the Siam collection,
mm-hmm,
and they'll try on an iconic design, mm-hmm, and match that up with the Yanas, you know. So all of a sudden, different body types, different age groups, they, yeah, all try on the same clothing, and all of a sudden they realize how, you know, how absolutely versatile, mm, something is. And it, when you pair it with something else, it all of a sudden becomes alive.
Yeah.
And that is a fantastic experience. Everybody is having so much fun. And our next one's on the 28th. Everybody, please pop in for some wine.
Me, I'm in. I know. I'm always in. I love you guys because you take care of me. It doesn't matter where. I could be in Montego Bay and, like, suddenly it's like Lisa's pop-up shop, and then there's people playing with my dresses, and, like, I'm like,
oh,
wow,
yes,
this thing, yeah, is actually going down. So we appreciate that. Now, I want to come to Lepang. We're coming back to you, but
okay. Just
quickly, just around the table, how do we feel? When I was having a conversation with a close friend yesterday, she said to me that she actually does not know if there is any more value in Fashion Week, mm, for a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's a very generic statement to make, but this is her saying, and making sure, Liz, make sure you bring it up at the show today so you guys can also just kind of share your insights around it. She feels that Fashion Week has no more real benefit. So thinking about it for what its purpose was, and I know it's very broad, because Fashion Weeks, there's so many. I mean, I'll tell you how many Fashion Weeks we have in the world in just a few minutes. But the fact that, you know, you've got Fashion Weeks happening, you've got designers relying on this and putting their back into it, because this is like that time of the year where you want to make sure you're present. What does it mean? Do you feel like it is losing its value? A lot of brands today, like, if you ask me why I'm showing at Fashion Week, I still can't answer that. Ask me maybe in 20 minutes. Give me 15 minutes, ask me again. But I feel like it's also like, so there's like this whole mix of FOMO. And now this is me personally talking.
Yeah.
I'm not a FOMO, you know, I'm not a FOMO, what do you call it? FOMO. I'm not a formation.
Participant.
Yes, participant. Formation. I am a...
victim.
Yes. I'm good. I don't need FOMO in my life. But I just feel like sometimes the FOMO, it goes beyond people. So I'm not a people pleaser necessarily.
Yeah.
But I just think that business and... when you think about business and its relevance and then visibility,
mm-hmm,
the leverage that you get and the PR... I actually call Fashion Week a PR exercise. And that's why I think that's my main reason to do it.
Yeah.
I do not expect anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going in to make sure that in autumn, winter 2018, you can look at a reference and see what Liz was talking about with this denim collection,
mm-hmm,
and it's just good for my reference. So beyond that, I don't know what else, but this is my PR exercise that I am happy to invest in, because
yes. This
is my brand. Visibility is important, and even though we're on social media, even though we make noise and do all of these private things,
yeah. I
feel like without finding a time to do this,
mm-hmm,
it would be doing injustice to, mm-hmm, myself, and maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about...
I think you have to look at it from... You remember when you said it's a press week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, yeah. Before it started that. You have to look at it from that point. But press for what, you know? Mm. I think when you... You know, that's where you find... So in America today, we live in this era of alternative facts, you know, where you can decide something is true, but it's not true, you know? Fashion Week, it's very important. You know, it's evolving, but the importance would never go away because it's not just for the press, though. It kind of puts buyers in one place, you know? Either they're sitting, they may be sitting at home and you're live streaming it to them, or they are in a location where you've invited them to. But buyers are a bigger player in Fashion Week than press, you know?
I agree with Benji.
So it's so important to have a Fashion Week. That's where it's so relevant.
I want to just say something, Edgy, before you go on. Sorry, because I'm going to forget. Buyers are more important than press, and that's what you're saying. What I'm saying, sitting here in terms of on the seats. Yeah, but for me, my thing is, if you have 20 buyers on the seats who are not buying, it's rubbish. You might as well have PR and let the PR make noise so that you can actually create that hype and get new introductions or new associations or new exposure.
Right.
Because, we also listen to Francisca's two cents, but I will tell you for sure right now, buyers sitting, 20 buyers on the front row of your show, mm-hmm. with one of them buying who's already actually stalking you, mm-hmm. versus PR. I would rather tech any day. I will tech PR, fill my whole front with PR.
They are not random buyers, though.
It's not, Edgy, let me explain.
Buyers.
They are your buyers. Edgy, let me explain to you. When you want to expand, you want to make sure that you incorporate or you get intro. You get a new cash. The point of Fashion Week is not, for me personally, is not to say, let me call all my buyers to come to the front row for what? They're already stalking me. They already believe in my brand. They already sell my brand. What do I need them there for?
But that's one of the reasons why I think it's so crazy that the designers on our fashion weeks are pressurized, mm-hmm. and so much pressure is put on them to sell their own tickets.
Mm.
Now, what on earth would I want to sell my own tickets to my own people who are already stocking me?
But you know, when you sell the tickets, you're actually not even selling them to buyers, you're selling them to the public. Before we lose, Edgy's feeling lost. Edgy, let me come back to you so you can finish your point. All I wanted to say, Edgy, is... Give me 20 buyers. I'm talking about me in my position in Africa where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
Give me 20 buyers on the front row as an option, or 20 PR headliners as an option. I'll take the PR because they'll get the buyers.
Magazine editorial right there.
They will get me the buyers. They will not. The PR is so strong that people will hear about you without being at the show. The buyers who are sitting there who have decided they want to buy from wherever they buy from, wherever, they're not interested in you. They are there anyway to just see. But if they've made their decision or if their mindset is really focused. And I know a lot of buyers who just don't. I have done a lot of exercises in this place because I don't just sit on my backside and make noise. Trust me, when I'm making noise because I'm like, listen, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I have reached out to buyers in different ways here. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to let you speak, Edgy, in a minute. But I'm just saying, out of my experience, and I know that we are talking different demographics, different fashion weeks, different buyers. Personally, for me, give me 20 people on PR and then they'll get the buyers for me. That's just all I'm saying. Come back to what you are saying now, Edgy. Come.
I guess what I'm trying to say is when you look at the buyer press equation, right? One thing is more constant than the other. The buyer is more constant. The press has evolved so much that the designer actually doesn't really need that photographer sitting there and taking a picture for him.
It's not a photographer.
The press and the photography is the same. But he doesn't really need that person that much anymore because he can generate that himself now, you know?
Exactly.
He can live stream it.
But the PR is beyond the photographer. PR is beyond the photographer. Mm. I'll tell you another thing. PR for me, the PR that I will need, that if you gave me a choice and said, Liz, choose,
mm-hmm.
I will say, please bring the bloggers.
Yeah.
Forget the magazines. I'm just saying, Edgy, what we have to remember is demographically and how we are wired and how we play is also different. Yeah. What you do in New York may work in New York but may not work somewhere else.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is, the reason we're having this conversation today is to hear, how does it work for you? How does it work in Europe? How does it work in Africa?
Mm.
And then see, what do we expect? How are we going to make change, or how are we going to make better our positioning, especially if you're actually continuing to focus on making sure that you're present at Fashion Weeks or you're participating at Fashion Weeks because you still feel there's value to it.
You were saying earlier, Liz, that you don't really like things that are formal, right? But internationally, the industry in terms of Fashion Week can be pretty formal, to the level that it's actually formalized what is informal. Things like blogging have become so formal now because they realize the need for bloggers to be involved in Fashion Weeks as part of media. And it's also, and I think when we talk about media on it, from a global context, okay, we might be talking about media in Europe and then media in Africa. The context of media and how media is used and how it's sold, and the kind of conversations that are within media groups, or even whether it's print, whether it's television, is all different. So there's different conversations about the fashion industry and fashion weeks that are happening in different countries. And one of our biggest maybe challenges, I would say, on the continent is that maybe let's look at buying, because you've been so about talking about buying and how you don't need those buyers because you feel that those buyers are already within your network.
I need them, but some of them already know they're not buying from
yes,
me. So I'm just saying, I need them. Either way, we need them.
The formal part of buying, I think, internationally, and I told you a little bit earlier about what's happening in China, looking at maybe Shanghai Fashion Week, which has just been happening this past week, is that buyers are more, they are more objective when it comes to how they buy. And they are more well-rounded. So it's not people who are just in retail coming in and buying, but it's buyers who understand the entire context of the industry and where it's going from a media point of view, from a partnership point of view, from a sourcing point of view, where things are sourced. So buying is not just about where someone works for a retailer and just comes in and says, oh, I'm going to buy this for this particular, for retailer X. But they are more objective on the global language of fashion. So they're looking at sustainability, ethical standards. They're looking at even to the level where Chinese designers have been educated. So you're looking at China is very instrumental right now because they've also been going through such a huge shift. So the shift is turning more to retail as opposed to manufacturing, because manufacturing is starting to happen in other countries because it's becoming so expensive in China as well. So now China is focused on retail. So designers are becoming more in demand. So there's a huge emerging market happening, and buyers are becoming more in demand as well. So, but they're very objective buyers who look at everything, because they understand that they work in a global industry. Some retailers or even independent retailers won't buy certain designs based on certain aesthetics, such as where you're sourcing things. So we don't even think about that. So we just take satin and we take linen and then we make a dress and then it's on the catwalk.
Give us more credit.
It's still really happening today. But I think designers now more educated. African designers are more educated about their choices of fabrics and colors and trends and things like that. But there's still also there's a level of not not being as formal as it is in most locations such as Shanghai, New York, Paris, where there is it's very difficult in those markets to look at different trends in buying. So we are not maybe looking at the different trends in buying. So if we can go back to the media as well, media has changed. And media is anybody. You are media, Liz. I mean, you're in Fashion Lab right now, so you are part of playing part of the media part of fashion. And I think that everyone today, who's within the fashion industry, doesn't matter which part, which aspect of fashion that you're in, whether you're in retail, whether you're in showcasing, whether you're in buying, manufacturing, sourcing, you actually play a part within media. And I think that is something that we need to start looking at and focusing on, and not looking at buying only as a central part of getting designers clothing sold. We need to actually look at as all of us within the ecosystem, as part of contributing contributing towards the sales of fashion.
Wow, girl, what's your name again? Can we have you next week? No, it's good. It's beautiful.
Anytime.
It's beautiful input, and it also expands. And that's why the reason also for me, what I appreciate is when you have many heads in the studio, it's easy to have the conversations and really spread them apart and bring in sense and direction from different, you know, different points of view and perspectives,
that's
which
right.
we have to appreciate, because one head can only think one way.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
And this ties in with the fashion revolution of who made my clothes, who made my textiles.
That's right.
You know,
where do
so
they
important.
Come from? Where do the
Absolutely.
Raw materials come from? We're becoming more conscious.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And there's the movement in South Africa is taking off, and people want to know, and we want to tell people where things are coming from.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think the educators are also really, they are at a level where they need to understand also the global thought.
And the revolution of it. Otherwise, and they'll be stuck.
That's it. Because designers then go on their own tangent, which is really, it contradicts where the world
is
going.
It's counterintuitive. Absolutely, yes.
Edgy and Francisca, what do you say so that what I want to hear from you, and again, just finally, when we all finish, before we go to who would you want to dress and why, because we are just about. I would love to hear from you also what you feel. Do you even feel, let's go back to the point or the question that I posed, which was around, do we feel, or is Fashion Week relevant today? Is it something that as a brand today in this world playing and trading that you feel is very important for brands to continue to pursue? Or is it the choice of the Fashion Week? Or what? Let's talk about that so we can wrap that up and get to the next thing.
From my point of view, the Fashion Week has still the function of strengthening the connections. Direct connections, when you can laugh with a customer or have a coffee with a manufacturer and negotiate some prices, some talking about some things about the production. And the main function now of the Fashion Week, of every Fashion Week, is to create new contents to upload in the media. Then, from my point of view, what you name PR now is a blogger, trendsetter, media in general, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Whatever is our PR, is the PR of our brand in the end. I come from an experience from this week, a very mediatic week for me, when I styled and dressed a journalist here in Portugal. And in the same week, in three different events, the jumpsuit and the total look of her came out. And in three moments, in the media here in Portugal, everybody talked about my outfit. And this was great. This is why I think the PR is a very important person.
It's the biggest thing
you need communications that works in different planes, in different... In different other ways, in the socials, TV, radio, whatever is your peer.
Thank you, Francisca. Edgy, your parting shots on this conversation. I know you're dying, but just be alive. We'll give you wine.
No, I'm alive. I'm listening to everything. I'm taking all the perspectives in. I mean, a Fashion Week remains extremely relevant in the new ways that it is right now. It is not the way it used to be and would continue to change, but the relevance would not change. It puts buyer, designer, viewer, everybody together in one spot, either it's virtually or on the ground. So it remains very relevant.
Well, guys, this has been our conversation around Fashion Week. I think some of these conversations just need like a year. But anyway, this has been this conversation. It's so important. For all of those of you designers who are embarking on next week's Fashion Week at SA Fashion Week. I wish you all the best. We wish you all the best from here. It's such a very profound point. I mean, there's been a lot of really good points around, but one of the big ones that I would want to just re-emphasize on that Monty dropped was, when you're stressed as a brand today, right now, because you're showing in 3 days, as because of if you did not prepare early, honestly, that there's other stresses that can come, but mm-hmm. the one of not preparing early and then feeling stressed now,
that's an excuse
now out for you, that's all we can say. Just go drink wine again. That's going to be your remedy for a lot of things. But I think really all we are doing is wishing you the best and also just giving you an opportunity to, once you listen to the show, also just kind of think about the direction that you're going, what's so important for your fashion brand based on your brand journey, and then just jumping onto whatever it is that makes you feel like this is going to be the next thing. Yeah. But PR, Baba Edgy, PR is power. Eh? PR is power. And yeah. we didn't say that. I'm just saying that for those who are making decisions between buyers and whoever else, this is your time to shine. So make your decisions and think about it well. Now, before we go into who would you want to address and why, Monty, how can our listeners who want to connect with you connect?
Well, first of all, secondly, it's money.
Sorry, now you know, Jane,
you
keeps,
are now, no. This is ridiculous.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Can you just, like, we're going to scratch that out. Gosh, Monet Viviere.
Oui,
excusez-moi. Excusez-moi.
Ah. So, they can connect with us through Instagram on telephones, homing pigeons.
Could you just maybe give a handle or a website?
Yes, it's 8th Avenue, 8th Avenue Online, and we're on Facebook, 8th Avenue Online. We have monthly trunk shows at Campbell House in Waverley. The next one's on the 28th.
Sip, trunk
shows. Socialize, and have some fun. I just wonder if I can quickly just make a note about the relevance of Fashion Week. I think it's a perfect opportunity to create content for your social media.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Everything is so expensive and photo shoots are so expensive. And if you add all of those things up, mm-hmm. it's probably cheaper just to do Fashion Week. And you can create so much content and have so much exposure. I think it's a fantastic thing.
Yep. That's beautiful. Thank you, guys. Now, we have to go to that time of the day. So just let me tell you what we are doing right now.
No.
Sorry, Francesca.
It is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So... we are going to literally going to start with we're going to start with Lepang. Who would you want to dress and why?
Why would you want to? Why did you start with me?
Okay, let's start with Monet Viviere.
You know what? There is a wonderful, wonderful woman that I would love to dress. Yeah. Her name is Iris Apfel. She's mm-hmm. a New Yorker. I'm not 100% sure how old she is. I know she's...
Oh, she's the 90-year-old woman.
Yes,
yes.
With the large glasses.
She's an interior designer.
Yes, she yep. is the most magnificent yep. yeah. woman. And she has such flair and mm-hmm. such grace and absolute... a personality of opulence.
Yeah.
And I think it would just be the most wonderful thing to be able to dress somebody who can wear clothes and who's proud mm-hmm. and who loves color and mm-hmm. who's just taking life... one gorgeous outfit at a time.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Lepang, okay. Who would you want to dress?
Well, I don't think a particular personality, but I would really want to dress a corporate woman. I think sometimes we get stuck in what we define as corporate and going to work, and then people end up just in the same stuff every single day and just tired, and they're just tired of their own wardrobes. And I just think that we're African, we're creative, we've got so much authentic capability that we can do almost anything when it comes to our creativity when we're going to work, regardless of how formal it is. So I would definitely want to address women who are just in an office where they feel sometimes bored and don't want to go there, where they feel good about going to work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Francisca, who would you want to dress and why today?
I would like to dress a customer that I knew last week, and she gave me a Mozambican capulana and told me, create whatever you want for me.
That's fantastic.
So this is what I'm going to do.
So that's what you're going to do.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be checking out on Instagram to see that.
Thank you. Love to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why besides yourself and none of us, please? Just none of us and none of you.
Well, yesterday I went to this event. It's called Polished Men. It's kids, like an event that men do, a charity for men against child abuse. And I saw this lady that was playing the piano at the event. And she had this amazing vintage dress, like the most beautiful vintage dress I've ever seen, actually. And believe it or not, the first person I thought of was Liz. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but what? I think having you on that dress, I mean, in that dress.
You know what I love? You're a trickster. You come with tricks and then we get caught up and then it's me. Anyway, fine.
But that was what I thought, though. Okay. I was like, Liz in that dress.
Well, at least send me the thing so I can approve. Otherwise, I'll just remove this segment. No, I'm playing. But anyway, today I want to dress two people. And you're going to have to excuse me why. I never do that. The first group of people I want to dress is Fashion Week attendees. Mm. And I want to say that the reason I'm going to want to dress them is because, for example, I don't wear black. If you tell me to come to your Fashion Week and wear black, I will not. I will wear red. I'm coming anyway. If you tell me to wear, you know, I think that fashion is freedom, and I think that that's my whole thing. So fashion attendees for Fashion Weeks who are feeling like they're confused, because some of them look like they dropped from hell. Some of them look like they were dragged by the river by some bass into like some sort of pothole. So I would want to dress them so they can feel comfortable, feel fresh, and still be extremely creative and free, because that's what fashion is about. The second person I want to dress, and I want to just give a moment of silence to her, is the late Jenny Andrews. I really wanted to dress her before she passed, and her passing came so quick. She was our beloved South African stylist and consultant, and I just want to do a moment of silence for her. Okay, that's our moment. She was amazing, and I mean, she's so chic, she's so fresh. But
such
anyway,
a loss. Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, it's that time of the time to go. So please. Like I said, for those of you who are wondering, go drink wine. You might come up with a plan. We are going to see you at Fashion Week. I'm excited about Fashion Week. I'm actually showing at Fashion Week as well. 25th Wednesday, 25th October, 6 p.m. If you know what's better for you, get your tickets at CompuTicket.
You see us, come and say hello.
And then we will see everyone else. It's fashionlabafrica.com where we hold it down if you want to reach out to us. Otherwise, peace and love. Until next week, thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.